Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
May God bless you. I'm glad to be back to talk to you again by discussing and talking about the Word of God. And we are the church that loves the Word, and we would like to partake the Word of God all the time. Since I became a new believer in 1980, I have been studying the Word of God and reading the Bible on a regular basis, and I have found the benefit of knowing God's Word. And as Christian, we need to know the Word of God. Today, I would like to share with you regarding the lifestyle of prayer. And as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, who denied ourselves, pick up our cross and follow Him, we need to understand how to communicate with the Lord. So prayer is an essential part of life. It's almost like if you don't breathe oxygen in, and breathe and exhale the carbon dioxide out of your body, that you will not be able to survive at all. The same thing, prayer will keep your Christian life going, to keep the heartbeat of Christian life going. Therefore, this is a very important subject. In this series for foundation, to lay down foundation for the new believers or even young Christians, we have altogether 4 CDs, and I pray that you will be able to listen to all of them. The teaching will not go into depth about prayer, but will give some basic understanding to you about the lifestyle of prayer. How many people know that there is power in prayer? Prayer brings power from heaven down to earth. God, our God, is a powerful God. And when you pray to God, when you talk to God, your prayers can bring change, bring power of God to cause changes in your own situation, in the situation of a country, of a nation, to the situation of people around you. It can change the city. Your prayer can change the country and bring salvation, deliverance, healing, freedom, and revival to this world. Prayer is one of the channels that the Lord gives us to come to Him so that the power of the kingdom of God can be released upon this earth. Wow, I'm excited about it, that we can pull the power of God from heaven to be released into this lost and dying world. Therefore, we can come before the Lord and talk to Him and pray and ask Him to do things for us according to His will. And when we pray, we talk to God and we ask God by faith, then He will release His power into the circumstances on this earth. Amen. And you're going to see change. I have been a Christian for several years, and I have seen many changes around me, the circumstances around me, because I and our church, we all together pray to God. And we come to the throne of God and say, God, could you please do this for us? You can see in the Bible, when Peter was arrested, the whole church prayed for him. Amen. And then God performed a miracle, and he came out from the jail supernaturally. So you can see the power of prayer in the Bible everywhere. You know, if you read from the book of Genesis to the book of Generation, you will learn about prayer everywhere. And when you pray, you perform a spiritual battle or warfare. The Bible says that our battle is not of the flesh or blood, but of the spiritual realm. We are fighting against principalities, evil forces in the spiritual realm. Ephesians 6:12, the Bible says that, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we pray and ask you to speak to all of us by your Holy Spirit. Teach us, help us to be people of prayer, to be the house of prayer. You say in the Bible, Lord, that your house is not for merchandise. It's not for people to come and do business, but it will be the house of prayer for all the nations. Father, therefore, we as a body of Christ, as a temple of the Holy Spirit, we want to be the house of God that will bring forth the words of prayer to heaven, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Do you know that God has given us a great responsibility to rule and reign and to change the circumstances in this world for Him? Once you believe in Jesus, Jesus got a new pair of eyes to look at people. When you believe in Jesus, He got a new mouth to speak for Him. When you believe in Jesus, He have two new ears to listen for Him, because you are His body. And God cannot do anything much on earth if Christians do not pray. It's amazing. It's a co-labor together. He will do something when we pray about it. And you can see this in the whole Bible. You remember one time God said that Jesus said that we need to pray to the Father of the harvest so that He will send laborers into the harvest field. You see, we need to pray, then He sent. If we don't pray, nothing gonna happen. So we are God's representatives upon this earth, and we are the body of Jesus. He is the head. We are the body. We are His mouth. We are His hands. And as a church, He give us responsibility to pray, to speak things to happen on earth here. And God want to use the church to overcome the power of darkness on earth for the lost and dying world. And one of the spiritual weapons that we can use in helping people to come into know Christ is prayer and intercession. Amen. Have you ever felt this way, that when you have a chance to talk to the CEO of a big company, if you are working there as a clerk, or you're just a new student coming to the school, and then suddenly the principal of the school call you in to talk to you and to give you some compliment and to give you channel that you can ask anything from him, you feel so privileged. Or if the president of the country call you up and say, "Oh, I want to meet you." Oh, you feel like it's a blessing that I can spend time with the president. I remember many years ago, I think in year 1999, a great evangelist came into my home, sat at my dining table, and we were talking. I feel so privileged that I was able to talk to this godly man, this man of God who has been used all over the world to bring revival in all many nations around the world. But even it's greater privilege to be able to talk to our Heavenly Father, the great God, the God who is full of wisdom and power and full of love and mercy. We can commune with Him. We can talk to Him. We can share the burdens of our hearts with Him. We can listen to Him. He talked to us. We can offer praise to Him. We can thank Him. What a privilege to be able to talk to him and intercede for other people on their behalf. And so that we will be a vessel to bring the will, the perfect will of God on earth here. And eventually, God will get all the honor and praise and power, and people will glorify his name. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Wow. Listen carefully one more time. Call to me. God invite, God give you an invitation. Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Wow. If the Church of Jesus Christ pray more, we will see the power of God, and we'll see things that we do not understand and we do not know. God will answer the prayer. Amen. Praise God that He invites us to call on His name. Thank God that not only He hears us, but He also answers our prayer. Amen. And He can show forth His great power and His mercy. In Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 2, the Bible says, Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus tried to teach the disciple how to pray. And if you want to understand this in more detail, please get the whole set of CD. And I'm talking about this in detail in another set of CD, in another CD in the same series here. So Jesus set us good example how to pray. Even Jesus himself, as a son of the living God, who came into the earth to show forth how to be a godly man, a godly human being, he prayed to the Father all the time. How much more we need to pray to the Father in heaven. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You can see one of the examples in the Bible that most godly men and women in the Bible are people who pray a lot. Look at one situation that is in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was one of the Jewish exiles that had been taken captive to Babylon. His position was a cupbearer. In other words, the king of Babylon trusted him so much that he will be the one who tests the wine or the water before he would give to the king. In other words, if he lied that there's no poison in there, the king can be killed by poisons. You see what I mean? So this man was very faithful in doing his job for the king. I noticed one thing about the kingdom of God. God never calls lazy people to do work for him. God called busy people. If you're busy and you're faithful in doing your job, God gonna look at you from heaven and call you to do his work. Because he know that if you're faithful and busy, you're going to be busy for him and you're going to be faithful for his job too. God doesn't call lazy people to do. Look at Peter. Peter was busy fishing. You see, Paul was busy persecuting Christians. So everyone God called was very busy. This man, Nehemiah, was busy in taking care of the king. But he knew that the wall of Jerusalem was destroyed by the enemy. And that really bring great distress to him. And he really had a desire to restore those burned gates and broken down walls of Jerusalem. So before he approached the king, he prayed to God. Look at what Nehemiah prayed to the Lord. In Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept. Have you ever wept for some people's salvation? You love them so much. Have you ever wept for your country? For Japan? For America? For Taiwan? Have you ever wept for your city? And mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, I pray, Lord, of God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. Wow. We can learn so many principles. So we can learn from the heart, from the prayers of Nehemiah. You know, whatever he prayed came from his heart. And what he was spoke to God really show us how we should pray. God showed his compassion to Nehemiah and his countrymen after he cried out to God. Notice one thing. Nehemiah, when he prayed, he had compassion for the people he prayed for. You know, when we pray, we should not have an attitude that I'm going to show off that I'm a great man. Today, I read from Acts chapter 5, verse 15, and I pray to God. In Acts chapter 5, verse 15, talking about they brought the sick into the streets of Jerusalem so that the shadow of Peter would fall on them and they would get healed. I pray to God, God, I see the conditions of men and women on earth here. People are tortured by sin, by demons, and by curses and bondage, and by their own blindness, spiritual blindness. God, today I really pray to God. I say, God, I cannot help them myself, but only by your spirit, by your anointing, can I have that thick anointing, that thick glory of God, like Peter. That when I walk close to somebody, the glory of God upon my life that you gave me will bring conviction of sin, will bring deliverance and healings and set the captive free so that they can have an abundant life on earth here. I was praying to God because not that I want to be famous, that I want to be a big guy that people's a famous man that, oh, he is so anointed. No, not at all. I want to see the lost. I want to see Christians who are blinded by the enemy to be set free so that they can be productive and fruitful for God. You know, as a pastor, I see all the time that members of the church, they are deceived by the enemy. They are demonized. They are attacked by the enemy. And I cannot help them by myself. I need the anointing. So when I pray today, I pray out of compassion for members, for the lost soul. Amen. I cry now to God so many times that God will raise up the army, the great men and women in Japan to bring revival to that nation. Somebody will say, God, use me. I want your anointing. And I want to be in revival. I want the fire of God. I want to be in the latter rains of God. You know, God promised two rains. First rain, the former rains, and the latter rains. I believe we are living in the end time for the latter rains. Amen. And not only that, he did not pray only one time and stop. He persevered and pray for many, many days. He really, really knocked on the door of heaven. Amen. He did not give up in prayer. He fasted too. And he when he came to God, he recognized, he said, "You are the God of heaven, great and awesome God, who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments." So he confessed the character of God, the goodness of God. You know, when we pray, we should confess and recognize and believe and have faith and trust in the character of God, that He's a great Almighty God and He's so full of goodness and mercy. Amen. Don't just come to pray to God and think that God cannot do anything, or think that God is a cruel and very mean God. No, our God is not a mean God. He is a good and merciful God. Then he reminded that our God really keep His promise. So he reminded the promise of God. He said, "You keep your promise." Is that right? That you love the children of Israel. You're going to restore Jerusalem. He prayed day and night. You know, we need to pray all the time. We do not pray only a certain time of day. We talk to God all day long. Amen. We talk to God all the time. You drive in the car. You even sitting, eating dinner. I'm talking to God. I was talking to God, listen to God. What we need to do? What should I do? God, give me direction. You know, and I pray for people, pray for the church, pray for countries, nations. Amen. And not only that, he pray on behalf of other people, not for himself. You notice that Nehemiah's prayer was not a selfish prayer. "Oh God, bless me so that I can be rich." No, he pray on behalf of for the well-being and the welfare of his own nation. He was not selfish in his prayer. He prayed for other people. And he knows that in order to get God to listen to him, he need to confess his own sin and his nation's sin. So my dear brothers and sisters, when you come to God, recognize your own sin. Repent very fast. Sometime God may come and warn us through other people that we have sinned and we need to repent. I want to encourage you, if you want to have an effective prayer life, you need to repent very quickly like Nehemiah. Keep your attitude right. Keep your heart right before God. Confess your sin all the time. Make sure that you are right before God. Amen. Now let me encourage you that sometimes you notice that your prayers are not answered or not effective. There are a few reasons that our prayers are hindered. Number one, unforgiveness. Mark chapter 11 verse 25, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." So Jesus said, when you pray, before you start to approach God, first thing, you need to forgive people. Amen. These past few weeks, I faced a challenge that I need to forgive people, many people, not in our church, outside the church. And God remind me right away, don't focus on what they did to you. Focus on forgiving them. This morning I woke up and God spoke to me, don't focus on what they hurt you, what they say about you. Just forgive them and love them and move on. So I did. I said, "God, give me the grace to forgive people who hurt my feeling, who have offended me." Amen. So we need to forgive people and move on and be busy doing the work of God, and don't focus on those people who try to hurt our feeling. Amen. Just love people and continue to obey God and do the will of God. So number one, unforgiveness. Be careful. If you keep unforgiveness in your heart, your prayers may be hindered. Number two, wrong motives. James chapter 4 verse 3. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Wow. If your motive is selfish or covetous or self-seeking or self-entertaining, then God may not answer you. Amen. So you need to make sure that whatever you ask God is not for your own benefits or not for your own self wrong motive. Check your motive when you pray. Check your attitude when you pray. Amen. I check my attitude all the time when I minister to people, whether I do it to gain praises from men or to gain any reputation or fame, or I do it out of loving people. I need to check my attitude all the time so that when I pray and ask God, it can be answered. Amen. Number three, another hindrance of prayer is lack of faith. If you pray without faith, you may not get answer. That's why I want to encourage you to listen to the CD series called Faith. Amen. Faith series. You need to build your faith and you need to listen to the Word of God all the time, because faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. Amen. James chapter 1 verses 6 to 8, the Bible says, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So if you are double-minded, you are not sure what you want, and you are full of doubt, then your prayer will not get answered. Amen. Hallelujah. Another question we have is, does God answer every prayer that we bring before Him? Does God answer every prayer? I want to say, yes, He answers every prayer, and His answer can be yes or no. Sometimes you say no. Like if my 5 years old son come to ask me, can I have a car to drive? I answer no. Is that right? But when he turns 16 and he goes to driving school and have the driver license, I may say yes. So in order to get answer from God, what we need to do is to pray according to God's will. 1 John chapter 5 verse 14, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Amen. You need to know that God also has His own timing. God has His own timing. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, the Bible says there is season. The Bible says everything, to everything there is season, and there is a time for every matter and purpose under heaven. So sometimes you pray, you don't get the answer right away, but God has His own timing to answer you. Therefore, we should be patient, persevering, and faithful in keep praying. You may be praying for your dad to be saved. I believe God heard you from the first day, and you keep thanking God that God answered your prayer. He may not be born again this year, maybe next year. It's a timing of God. I've been praying that we will bring revival to Japan. God may not answer me right at the spot, but I believe the right time going to come. God going to pick the right person to do that job in Japan. If I keep asking, He will answer me, because it's His will to bring revival into the world. Maybe not even in my generation. Maybe my son goes to Japan and bring revival to Japan. I don't know. But my job is to keep praying, asking God. I learned one thing in the past couple of years now. You know, we all, you agree with me that we all are growing in the Lord in different ways. You know, each year go by, we're growing, we're changing, we understand God more. We have more understanding of the knowledge of God. These couple of years, I have learned one thing that I should not worry. I should not be like a horse running ahead of God. And I should not be like a mule that try to be behind God and God have to pull my neck to follow Him. What I need to do each day is to relax, have faith, trust God, obey what He tells me to do day by day. And I should not try to plan things out of my own thinking, but I will plan according to the Holy Spirit and let things happen in His timing. I prepare myself. You and I need to prepare ourselves for the greater things to come. But at the same time, God has His own seasons and timings. Amen? His own time. So we just obey God day by day. Be faithful today. And God is going to bring many things to pass in the future. I learned that lesson in the past few years now. So lately I have changed a lot in my thinking, in my way of walking with God. Luke chapter 18 verse 1. Then He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. We should not lose heart if we don't see the answer right away. Amen. How do I know what to pray for and how to pray for people? Simple. Number one, we should pray according to the Word of God. We should pray according to the will of God. How we can find the will of God? We find the will of God by two ways. Number one, studying the Bible, knowing the Bible. Read the Bible, listen to sermon, listen to CD, go to Bible study, get involved in the fellowship, learn the Bible together. Not only that, we pray according to God's will and God's word by listening to the Holy Spirit. There are two kind of words for the word of God. One is logos. Logo is a written word in the Bible. God speaks to you through the written word, and God also speaks to you through rhema, R-H-E-M-A, which is the inspired word from the Holy Spirit for that particular person and particular situation. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, make sure that what you hear does not contradict the Bible, okay? The Holy Spirit will never say anything contradict the Bible. For example, if you hear some voice say, stop going to care group, stop going to church, stop associating and fellowship with other believers. I don't believe that is from the Holy Spirit. I believe that is from the devil of hell. Amen. Because God never say anything against His own word. So you need to listen to the Holy Spirit. Pray according to the word of God, what He said to you. Amen. I give you one example. When I was on the airplane to Bangkok many years ago, I was crying on the seat, praying, interceding for my mom to be saved. Suddenly, I heard the voice of God speaking to me. The Holy Spirit was speaking to me that, pray this prayer. Pray that Jesus will reveal Himself to her. I right away, I say, Jesus, I pray that You will reveal Yourself to her. And He did. That day, my mom saw Jesus with her own eyes. And she got saved. I pray according to the rhema, according to what the Holy Spirit tell me to pray. Amen. The Bible teaches us to pray for our enemies. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 28, bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. Oh, Father, bless those who hurt our feeling and bless those who spitefully abuse us and reject us and talk things against us, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Bless them, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We need to pray for those who hurt our feeling. Number two, pray for ministries in the body of Christ. Pray for your pastors. Pray for the leaders in the church. Pray for the church. I have to admit that I need a lot of prayers from you. In fact, Pastor Da just talked to me today that, oh, in the past couple of weeks, we got a lot of attacks. I got many attacks in the past 2 weeks, day and night, in different ways. And it's really disturbed me, actually. Those attacks really disturbed me. But then God spoke to me, oh, the devil really mad at you right now. He is mad at you because you never want to stop revival. You produce CD. You bring revival to Thailand, now to Phuket. And then, oh, a lot of people get saved right now. In the past 1 year, our small church, churches saved already have 200, I think 57 people saved this year already by now. And this is only 3rd of October, year 2005. And I believe next year we're going to have at least 1,000 people saved. And we are, again, I'm not an evangelist. We are just a pastoral ministry. But we see so many people get saved. So the devil mad at you. So he will try to attack you, to get you discouraged. Amen. So we need to pray for pastors. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 say, finally, brethren, pray for us. Who is us? Paul and his team. The apostle and his team, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly. So the word of God will go swiftly, will go fast, and be glorified just as it is with you. Not only pray for our leaders and ministers and pastor, pray for elders. We should pray for one another. We should pray for our friend in the same care group. We should pray for the members in the same care group, in the same church. Amen. James chapter 5 verse 16, the Bible says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Let's say at the same time, pray for one another. Amen. That you may be healed. You see, if you pray for one another, members will be healed. Actually, I was praying for you. I don't mention the name, but I was praying for you a couple of days ago. You know, that God will really come and show his will to you and really minister to you. I pray for you. I'm not kidding. I'm serious. I was praying for you because then God can bring some healing to your heart and give you revelation to understand his will. Amen. The effective fervent prayer for a righteous man avails much. Last Sunday night, I was praying for my son. And while I was praying, God raised this, remind me of this scripture. He said, are you the righteous man? I said, yes, I'm a righteous man because I fear God. I repent very fast. I love God. I serve God. And he said, you pray for your son? Yeah, for Paul. Your prayer is answered. Oh, I begin to laugh in the Holy Ghost. I was laughing and laughing on the floor while God was touching me. And you know what happened? 5 days later, Paul come to me and Pastor Da and say, Dad, I promise you that from now on, I will do my best when I go to church. I will worship God. I will not be rebellious to you anymore. Oh, God answered my prayer. Last Sunday, you noticed that he was standing and he was sinking. He was not sitting down. So you see, the prayer of the righteous man avails much or effective. So we need to live a holy life, righteous life, forgive people, don't sin, don't get involved with sin. So when you pray, God will answer you. Amen. Now, not only pray for one another, the Bible teaches that ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to pray. Romans chapter 8 verse 26. The Bible say, likewise, the Spirit also help us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. This scripture has two meanings. One meaning is that if you don't know what to pray, you can ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Second meaning is that the Holy Spirit can pray to you in tongues, in heavenly languages. Amen? So I want to encourage you to find a quiet place to pray and spend time with God every single day. If you have a chance, join your prayer group or your care group. Join your care group meeting in prayer. Join the intercessory prayer group in the church. Join the all-night prayer. Join the fast and pray of the church. Anytime there is a chance that we can pray cooperatively as a group, you join in. When you see brother and sister, always pray for one another. Last Sunday, I was walking around at the end of the meeting, and I grabbed so many people's hand, and I pray for them. I bless them. Amen. It's good to pray. It's good to ask God to bless people. It's good to ask God to come to the throne room of God. Amen. So participate in corporate prayer. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they, mean the believers in the early church, continue steadfastly in the apostle doctrine, in and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. So they came together and pray in their homes and in the temple in the early church time in Jerusalem. Amen. The Bible said that if we pray together in unity, God will bless the community. Amen. So I want to encourage you, anytime you pray in a group, make sure that you come together in unity. Make a decision to love one another. The Bible say in the book of Psalm, chapter 133, there is power of the word one. One is very powerful. God is one. Is that right? God is one. God, Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy say, God is one. The Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son are one. And that's why they are so powerful. The Bible says in Psalm 133, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing and life forevermore. You want God to command the blessing and life and victory upon the society, upon our community and God's family? Be in unity in prayer. You can see every time in the Bible talk about unity and oneness. Look at this. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 11 to verse 13. And it came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping to their divisions. And the Levites, who were the singers of all those of Asaph and Hermon and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east of the altar, clothed in white linen, represent holiness and righteousness, living a holy life, having cymbals, worshipping, stringed instrument and harps, and with them 120 priests. This is a prophecy about upper room, sounding with trumpets. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one. Everyone say one. Amen. To make one sound. Everyone say one. One sound to be heard in prayer. praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endures forever." What happened? And that the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud. So that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. You want to see revival? You want to see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? You want to see the deliverance and the healing and salvation of your loved ones and your city and your nation? We need to come together. You know, worship is a form of prayer. You know that? It's a form of prayer by telling God, talking to God how good He is. So when you come together and praise God and worship and pray together as one, God gonna pour out His Spirit. The blessing gonna come. Life gonna come to the church. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you to be people of prayer. Pray every day. Amen. And God will perform miracle and do great things in our midst. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word, encouraging us through your Spirit and your word right now, Father. Lord, imprint this teaching, the knowledge of God, the truth of the Bible into our spirit. Lord, that we will be sanctified. We will be, Lord, change from glory to glory to become like Christ. And we will be people of prayer, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. May God bless you. Thank you again for listening to this CD. Pastor Dan, I love you so much. We pray for you. We believe that God has good things in store for you. He wants to change you to become like Christ. And He has the best plan for you. So be of good cheer. May God anoint you and use you in this end time. Amen.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington 98040. Thank you very much.